Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour, Wednesday night, July the 1st, 2020. This is a time that we have set aside to come and explore the Word of God together. We are one body, partakers in a household of faith. We come back Wednesday after Wednesday to hear what God has to say to us. And I know for me it's an honor and a privilege. And I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for each and every one of you who take time from your busy schedule to come together, to be on one accord, to hear what God has to say to his people. And not only for us to hear it, but for us to apply it in our heart and become doers of the word, get a better understanding of what God is saying to us, that we could be strengthened by the word, which is our anchor, as we go through life. Thanks to each and every one of you again. Glory be to God for your faithfulness. And I thank you. Our lesson tonight is, when Jesus speaks, everything must obey. I don't mean some things. I mean everything. Because we have already stated and established that God is in total control. He's even putting it into play, allowing other things that have been in play by other means, but he still has to allow it. God is in total control of everything. Because we have to remember that he is our creator and everything was created by him. And that's how he controls everything. Everything must obey. And our text is coming from the book of Mark, one of the gospel writers. We're going to be in the fourth chapter, which was the beginning of Mark's writings, rather early part, because we're in the fourth chapter and there's several chapters in the book. But tonight we're going to be in the fourth chapter of that book, and we're going to expound on verses 35 through 41. I pray that you read the chapter. I pray that you have your Bibles. And I pray that God opens your heart that you can receive what the Spirit has to say. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And at this time, I'm going to play you a song that's appropriate for the lesson tonight. And we're going to come back, and our dear sister Pam, our intercessor for this Bible study. Every first of the month, she comes and she calls out the name of those who ask for prayer. And it is our job and responsibility to pray for them all the time. Lift them up by name. Lift up the petition that is needed by them. And she's going to come and bring us to the throne of grace after the song has been played. So pray, listen to the song, because there's messages in song, and then we'll come back. Sister Pam will bring us to the throne, and then we'll explore the word of God together. Thank you. That was Yolanda Adams. And for those who read the chapter, they could see that that song was fitting for us on tonight. At this time, I'm going to call Sister Pam. And Sister Pam is ready. Her one button was already pressed. It's a blessing when people have a job to do and they come ready to do it, and you don't have to wonder if they're going to show up or did they remember, or you got to keep reminding them. But that's Sister Pam. I say thank you.
Welcome. Good evening, everybody. The prayer list reads as thus: Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Minister Diane and family, our entire Bible study members, Diane, Dustin, Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Jacqueline Nichols, Tammy Ditto, Maddie Lala and family, Javonda Caples, Sharon, Maisha Brown, Shamika Alexander, Nini, Jasmine, Sheila, Chriselle, Elizabeth Smith, Beverly Ferguson, Cedric Edwards, Rolanda Lacey, Florida Kaiser, Gwen Ellis, Adrian and Marie, Benita Adams, I think Avon, Minister Tommy Banks, Patrice Oliver, Minister Carol Bridges, Olaya Williams, Devin Allen, Sister Angelique, the Joseph, Moses, and Mitchell families, praying for all the homeless people, praying for all those that are behind prison walls, praying for all those that are hospitalized in nursing homes, praying for all the families that lost loved ones with illnesses. First, giving honor and glory to the Holy Trinity, to you, Minister Diane, and to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I just thank you tonight for life, thanking you for allowing us to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, it's truly a joy and a pleasure to come together and on one accord to share the word of God. Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for salvation. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy, for your grace is sufficient enough for me. Father God, we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, we thank you for what you still to do. Lord, we pray that you keep us covered in your precious blood, Jesus. Protect us, O Lord, from all dangers seen and unseen. Lord, our hearts, our minds, and our soul belongs to you because you, Lord Jesus, paid the price for us way back on Calvary. That's why we praise you, Lord. We lift you up and we magnify your name. And our hearts shall always be filled with praise. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, amen. And thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. If there's anyone at this time who would like to add someone to the prayer list, you could press the one button on your phone and you could give us the name and we'll include it. And at the end of the lesson, we'll have a closing prayer by Minister Elyria Mackey, and she's going to intercede for those names as well. And then the next month, they'll be added to the other list. Well, they're going to be added automatically, but since we are given the names now, if there's any after the prayer's gone up, Minister Mackey, our other intercessor will pray at the end of the program. Anyone has a name that they would like to add to the prayer list? You could add them at this time. You got to press the one button on your phone. All right, caller, your number is 23033. Your mic is open. What name would you like to add? Caller, your number is 20888. Do you have a name to be listed?
Yes. I want to add Houston to the prayer list. And thank you.
That was Houston?
Yes.
Thank you. You wanted to add the city of Houston?
No, that's somebody's name too, Diane.
All right, darling. Thank you. Is that the only names we have to be added to the prayer list? So we're going to move on. Thank you, guys, who put those names on the list. We will definitely take that in consideration. All righty. It's getting busy in here tonight. But God is able. When we look at our lesson for tonight, like I said, I pray that each and every one was able to read the chapter. The title of our lesson again is When Jesus Speaks, Everything Must Obey. We're coming out of the book of Mark. Mark is one of the writers of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible, the good news. We're in the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. And as always, I give a little introduction or background. And since we're talking about faith tonight, I want to know, and you could ask yourself the question, what do you do when you're faced with difficult circumstances? We all like it when things are going smoothly. But what I mean by that, what I mean is, how do you handle when things are not going the way you want them to? But what happens when your world is rocked? What happens? You know, many of us have lost our jobs. You suffer financial loss. You get news of a physical health problem, the death of your loved one. Right now we're in a pandemic, and it's all over the land. There's racism and blunt and brutality and injustice on all levels. How do you handle these storms of life? When you encounter an obstacle or face with something difficult in life, do you exalt all your power and skills and resources attempting to fix the problem yourself before turning to God? We could take a look and remember the woman that had the issue of blood. She exhausted all of her resources, going to the doctor for 12 years, and nothing helped her. And then she decided to look to Jesus. You see, by her having this condition of blood, the issue of blood, she was considered unclean, and she couldn't mingle with the people like us today. She had to social distance herself. It was difficult for her even in her home, because if anybody considered unclean and they had to wash all their clothes and they had to separate, distance themselves for so many days. So from this, we could see that social distances is not nothing new. Just as well in the Bible, when the people had leprosy, they had to come from among the people and they had to go into a colony where just lepers dwelled. But this lady, knowing that she was unclean, according to the law, she decided to press, even though it was not legal for her to go around. See, she had a problem. And when she realized she had done everything that she could, and she was at the end of her rope, she turned to Jesus. So what she did, she pressed forward with the thought that if she could only touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. That was great faith. She pressed, and she got down, and she was worried if someone would spot her, but she pressed. And she made it. And she touched the hem of his garment and was made whole, not only physically, but spiritually. You see, when Jesus did miracles in the Bible, and when after he healed them, he said, "You are whole." That was a twofold healing, spiritually and physically, because of her faith. You see, faith is what moves God. Faith is what saves us. We can only be saved and receive salvation through faith. So this woman, because of her great faith, healed her spiritually and physically. You see, when we look at ourselves, we can only succeed in matters worse when we take everything into our own hands. And then when we reach the end of our rope, when we are undeniably in over our heads, we turn to him to bail us out. And now we want our emergencies to become his urgencies, you see. He becomes our last result rather than the first. You see, if you can relate to this, you are not alone. How many times we take things and call ourselves fixing them and making it right, and nothing happens, and then we go to God when it got all screwed up. You're not alone. We see this same attitude in Jesus' disciples in this text this evening. Our faith must be exalted. Go to God first. Consult with God first, not in some things, all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Then everything that you need will be given. He'll add that to you also. But you seek him first and patiently wait on God. You see, problems occur in every area of our life. If we go to the book of James, the first chapter, for those who write, James, the first chapter, verses 2 and 3, you see, it says that, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It didn't say if we fall into temptation. It didn't say you may fall into temptation, but it say when you fall into divers, meaning different, all kind of temptations, trials, and tribulations. And sometimes it's testing. Count it all joy. Sometimes it seems that the Christian life has many more stormy weather than calm seas. But God wants you to know that he got you, because he will never leave you or forsake you. He is always right there with you. And I want you to know, sometimes, you know, you feel so overwhelmed. You feel that no one cares. You feel that God has turned his back on you, which we have learned. God never leaves us. We leave God. We stop praying. We stop going to God. We stop studying. We stop doing anything of God, so we're not feeling, we're not feeding our spirit. But God will never leave us. We leave God. But when you can't feel his presence, just trust his plan. Because God said, yes, he understands, not some things, all things. He know what you're going through. Nothing you could be going through could take him by surprise, so you might as well go to him and let him know. As Christ followers, be prepared for the storms that may surely come. Do not surrender to the stress, but remain resilient and recover from your setbacks. God didn't promise a rose garden. Everything ain't going to go the way you want. Everybody ain't going to love you like you should. Everybody's not going to treat you as well as you treat them. Recover from your setbacks. You see, with faith in Christ, you can pray, you can trust, and that's what enables you to move ahead. I want to tell you tonight, it's never what comes our way. It's how we accept it and deal with it and who we go through it with. Trust God, not in some things, but in all things, nothing too small, nothing too big, nothing too hard. He want to hear about your joys, your pains, everything. When we pray, we talking to God. And it's been said many times, if God already know everything, why you got to tell him? Because he want to hear from you. It's called communication. And even in a circular world, you know how important communication is. So trust God for all things. And then just keep it moving. That's our little background, our introduction for the night. We're going into the scripture, and we, in the book of Mark, as I said earlier, verses, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. And I'm going to read the scriptures 35 to 38. And the same day when the evening had come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away all of the multitude, the people was there. There was crowding. Jesus was teaching and preaching, and the crowd grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. Jesus said, let us go on the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in a ship. They took Jesus and put him in a ship. And there was also with him other little ships. Because you see, even though Jesus not deciding to get in a ship and leave, those who had a ship wanted to follow him. They wanted to be in Jesus' presence at all costs. And 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The water was coming in, and I could imagine, and they was, you know, getting the water out as much as they could, and maybe the water was coming in faster than they could get it out. And 38, you see, now Jesus was in the hinder part, in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillar. Jesus had done got comfortable, y'all. And they went and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You see, Jesus had been teaching near the Sea of Galilee. Afterwards, he wanted to rest from the crowd. So he took a boat with the apostles to go on the other side of the shore. And it's amazing that Jesus gave no explanation, because I guess they was wondering, why now? Because it had gotten dark. Jesus gave no explanation for his desire to travel across the Sea of Galilee in the evening instead of waiting until morning, which would make it a safer barge. It is now... it is now a time to teach. Let me just tell y'all this. When you read the word of God and you read a scripture, you should ask what the scripture is saying to you. What is Jesus trying to achieve in the scripture? And always look for the hand of God, because there's a teaching tool in every dot, every tittle, every word, every verse, every book, and it's all for your good. So this happened, right? And I looked at this and I said, okay, Jesus ready to teach his disciples something. You see, not long after they left the shore, the storm arrived. Now you must realize, think about it, y'all. Jesus knew that the storm was going to happen because he's all knowing. You have to know Jesus knew that storm was coming. He knew how treacherous it would be. But he decided to go at night instead of the morning. So that's what made me come up with the fact that he wanted to teach them something. You see, Jesus entered the ship, goes to the back of the ship, get a pillar, lay on it, and goes to sleep. And I want you to know that this was a big storm that materialized. It threatened to sink the boat. Now watch this, y'all, to determine how big this storm was. If the disciples who were fishermen for a living think they're bound to perish in this tempest, we should trust their judgment that this storm was a bad boy. You see, nothing indicated that they overreact, being cautious. because this was no normal storm. Yet Jesus sleeps on a pillow, showing great confidence and peace. When his companions woke him, accusing him of indifferences and negligence, they had used every opportunity. When they said that he was negligent, they had their last hope. They figured this ain't gonna end up good. You see, their words revealed that they had already figured out how the story would end. Come on, y'all. Jesus used every opportunity to teach the disciples. And with this particular spot right here, he was teaching them who he is and who he truly is. You see, right here we see Jesus as fully man. And he also wanted to teach them that he was fully man and fully God. But here we see Jesus as the Son of Man. The Son of Man implies his humanity, because we see him here tired, in need of rest, sleeping just like an ordinary man. Yes, he was fully God, but he was fully man, and he had the knees just like humans. He was the Son of Man. And when that is emphasized, they're talking about his humanistic side, that he was a human being. See, we're going to see how he teaches. That's one lesson he was teaching. And the next lesson is that he's also the Son of God, and that he has always existed as an eternal begotten one who comes forth from the Father forever. You see, he needed rest and time away from the crowd. He was so exhausted that even the battering of the boat did not awaken him. This could help us realize that Jesus was fully, genuinely human with the same basic needs as we have. Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you know that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one? Do you really know it? Do you really believe it? Jesus, you got to realize Jesus was teaching these disciples. Jesus' humanity is part of what qualify him to be our merciful intercessor between us and God. See, Jesus had to become man for several reasons. One of the reasons was because he was coming to save mankind, and because a sacrifice of a man had to be done for mankind, Jesus had to become man to be wrapped up in flesh. And he became the Son of Man, but still fully God. Jesus had to become a man that he could identify with us as mankind. He walked the earth for 3 years with his ministry, and they did him everything under the sun. There's nothing that can happen to you that haven't happened to Jesus. That's why he said, must he bear the cross alone for all the world to go free? Plenty of times somebody said, well, she was talking about me. I said, they talked about Jesus. Well, they put this man in jail, and he was innocent. And I don't like that. But not only did they put Jesus in jail, they beat him all night long, and they crucified him, and they made him carry a cross, and they put a thorn, a rose thorn, bush thorn with thorns in it, in his head. Then they nailed his hand to the cross, and then they nailed his feet. And this was a man who knew no sin. This was a man that was innocent. And it happened to him. So when somebody's in jail and they're innocent, Jesus knows how it feels. when somebody judge you unrighteously. Jesus know how it feels when somebody, you know, beat you and you haven't done anything wrong. Jesus know how it feels. And Jesus is the righteous judge. And when he's ready, he's going to take all crooked roads and make them straight. He's going to shut all these doors that need to be shut and open the doors that need to be opened. But he's going to do it in his own time. Wait on the Lord, and you shall see his salvation. You see, Hebrews 4:15-16 says, "For we have not a high priest." You see, the priest in the Old Testament had, you know, to go before God, before the people, and now Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, became our high priest. And the scriptures say, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities," that don't can't sympathize and empathize. Hallelujah. See, because what Jesus did, he can sympathize and empathize because he felt all of our infirmities upon himself, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And look at the next verse. See, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find peace to help in our time of need." When Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, he showed himself on earth for 40 days to different people. And then he ascended into heaven to be back with the Father from whence he came. And while he's in heaven, he's still working all things out together for our good. And Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father. When you pray to the Father, Jesus hears your prayer, and he intercedes for you to the Father. You know, like, "Father, I know how this person feels." You know, when you have shortcomings, because he was tempted on every side. He know how temptation comes and sometimes don't let you go. He knows all of that. So he be talking to the Father on our behalf if you pray. And if you not pray or being prayerful, he has nothing to talk to the Father with. If we look at the last verses, and it says, "He rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the seas, peace, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly. And they got even more scared after the everything worked out together for the good. And they said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" When we look at this, it is so amazing that all they had seen Jesus do, they became afraid, even though he was on a ship with them. How many people confess that they have Jesus in their life, and when one little obstacle comes, they faint? Jesus was on the ship with them. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he lives inside of you. So he's always with you. He has given us promise after promise. And sometimes we slip in our faith. You see, they had seen him cast out demons. And I'm only giving you the things that he had done by this chapter, which is the fourth chapter. They had seen him cast out demons. He healed Simon, which his surname is Peter, mother-in-law. He cleansed the leper. And he healed a man that was paralyzed by this time when he was on the ship. So they had seen him do all of these things. So they had belief in him. Hallelujah. They had seen him did all of these things, but they didn't believe that by him being on a ship, they would be all right. You know, they evidently believed that he could heal the physical, but they never considered that his power had control over everything, even the wind and the sea. It's as if their faith was one-dimensional. I know a lot of people with one-dimensional faith. So since it was one-dimensional, it faltered, and they became afraid. They trusted God that he could part the Red Sea. They trusted Jesus that he could heal the leopard and make the lame walk and put spit on the ground and put it on people's eyes and make them. They believed all of that. But now this is another thing in the atmosphere, the wind and the rain and the seas. They wasn't so sure about that. And with them not being sure of them controlling the seas, they probably hadn't grasped at that time that the Father and the Son was one, because if they knew Jesus, who was on the boat with them, was actually God, they know that he had parted the Red Sea. They know he had a cloud in the sky at night and in the day, and fire at night and directed them out of in the wilderness. But they evidently hadn't connected that the Father and the Son was one. So when Jesus got on his boat, it wasn't just to get to the other side. It was an opportunity for him to teach them. Because Jesus knew that they might not really have it. And here we, over 200 and something thousand years later, still, there are many who just don't have it. They have people who don't believe Jesus and God is one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the Trinity, even today. It is the same way we sometimes look at God. We trust him for some things, and we don't trust him for others. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But if we look in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, it says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't leave anything out that God can do. Realize that God can fix everything, that God is in total control. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything in your life, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. I'm telling you tonight, don't just trust him for some things, but trust him for all things. During this time in Jesus' ministry, as I said earlier, he was constantly teaching his disciples because he knew that his time here on earth wouldn't last long. And he was trying to get them to fully understand who he was and that he had all power. He now uses this event to get them to understand who he really was, that he really was fully man. He needed rest, and he was fully God with all power in his hand. He was able to teach that lesson here. He did the things that man needed to do, and he did the things that only God can do. Hallelujah. You see, the Son of God implies his dignity. He was the incarnated God, and that he has always existed as the eternal begotten one who comes forth from the Father forever. the common understanding, and real simple if I need to tell you, is that the Son of God, when that phrase is used, is saying Jesus and God are one. And that Jesus and God, along with the Holy Spirit, are one. Because nothing, you can never leave out the Holy Spirit. God did everything with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is where the power was, in a sense. The Holy Spirit delivers what God wants done. When Moses picked up his rod, it was the Holy Spirit that divided the sea. When the world was created, it was the Holy Spirit that God said that the Spirit was hovering over the earth. Come on, y'all. You see, Jesus doesn't calm the sea as much as he overpowers it and brings it to heel. Then he rebukes the violent wind and demanded to be silent from the chaos water. Here we see the Trinity at work. Watch this. Jesus speaks to the situation. He rebuked the wind and speak to the seas. And he said, peace, be still. And he did it by the power that had been given to him from the Father. And the Holy Ghost executed what needed to be done. Hallelujah. He ceased the wind and he calmed the sea. The Spirit of God, commanded by the Son of God, by the power of God. Jesus was not only teaching the disciples, but he was teaching us as well. If Jesus is with you, then nothing, not even the storms of life, the issues of life, the debt of a loved one, come on, y'all, if Jesus is with you, the pandemic, if you contract COVID-19, hallelujah, if you're on a respirator, hallelujah, because remember, all healing is not going to take place on this side. But no matter what you're going through, if Jesus is with you, nothing can be against you because he's in control. Nothing can take your life. The Bible says it's written down in the book of life. And if coronavirus, if COVID-19, if cancer, if whatever could take your life, then where would God be in the picture? You might die with cancer, but cancer didn't stop your life. It was God. Everybody got to die. God know every situation we're going to come in. And yes, he might allow us to die with our bout with cancer. But he still determined the time and the place. Don't ever forget that. Because if anything, things and circumstances and people, even these boys on the street with guns, how you think sometime you could see somebody get shot one time and die? How many times you saw it on the news that someone got shot 18 times, 4 times in the head, and they lived? Come on, y'all. How many times people be in stage 4 cancer and live, and someone in stage 1 die? How could someone 100 years old get coronavirus and stay on a ventilator for 2 weeks and come out the hospital alive? God is in control. And we have to remember that. And as I get ready to close tonight, I want you to know that many weapons may form against you, but not all will. In Psalms 34 and 19 says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out them all. Jesus is constantly teaching us want us to know more and more. Just like he taught the disciples, we are in our Christian walk. We ain't never finished learning. So he's constantly teaching us so that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So our faith will be strengthened. Hallelujah. And we can trust God for all matters of our lives. That's the program for tonight. Glory be to God. And at this time, if anyone would like to say anything, if you would like to add something to it, if you want to expound on anything that was said, because you got to remember, you know, no one knows everything. We all growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell you guys all the time that I can only give information, but it's the Holy Ghost who give illumination and revelation. When you study the word of God, you're supposed to meditate after you heard the word. You're supposed to, like, go to church on Sunday and take the word of God and meditate it till you go back on the next Sunday, because that's how it become a part of your heart. That's how the Holy Ghost will take some faulty beliefs that you have in your head, some misconstrued. That's how the Holy Ghost will take some things out of your head that's not lining up with the word of God. See, many times we believe, and this is how people do their religion. They, well, not religion, because religion man-made, but a lot of times how people handle how they feel about God, they really feel that they are afforded the privilege to make it up as they go. They'll tell you what it don't take all of that. Plenty of things you do, they say, is not necessary. Some of the things you say, they say you don't have to say it. So who made them in charge? How do they think with their mind that they got it all right and they understand it and what they have come up with in their mind is right? We have to line everything up with the word of God, and you can't line it up with the word of God if you don't know the word of God. That's why Jesus is constantly teaching each and every one of us. That's why we get together and explore the word of God. We get together and pray. We get together with one another. So to put it in a nutshell, the event that happened with Jesus on the boat, I believe that Jesus used it as a teaching where he could teach the disciples. And not only was it he was teaching them, he was also testing them. Because you see, sometimes you have to know right where people are. Appears that all of them didn't quite understand, because they feared, they were very fearful. They didn't believe he knew what to do with the wind and the water. In the sea, because they even said it. They expressed, what kind of man is this that they said, y'all? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They was questioning each other. So at that point, they didn't know, but hopefully they passed the test. And you see, they're going to ponder with one another. They're going to go back and search the scriptures, and they're going to get illumination and some revelation. So if there's anyone who would like to say anything at this time, you can press the one button, and I'll open your mic. So I say it tonight, since we only got one name from Tamika for prayer. So I guess they had some callers where their line was pressed already. Sister Brown, hallelujah. Caller, your number is 430. Your mic is open.
Good afternoon, Minister Diane. You said something tonight that God has been working on me with, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. When you talked about the woman who had had the illness for 12 years and probably spent all of her resources and her time and her energy, and then she turned to Jesus last, and it's something God is working with me on. Turn to him first. Your lesson tonight was this confirmation. I always say when I listen to the message that's coming from a woman of God or a man of God, and there's one thing that hits me, nobody else but me, that can help me to grow. I am so grateful, and I just want to say thank you tonight. Thank you for the confirmation.
Thank you, my sister. And you guys got to remember, things that you are dealing with, like Sister Joyce said, if you're dealing with things and you praying to God about it, God is going to send you a word through, as she said, a man, a woman. It could be your sister. It could be your child. God is going to always give you a word. You have to be in position to receive the word. That's why, you know, when I pray, I tell the Holy Ghost, I say, use me as your vessel, because they're going to have people coming with needs. I don't know all of the people, and I sure can't read mine, so I don't know your needs. But dear Heavenly Father, let the word not return void. You see, Sister Brown?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
God connect word for you because of your desire and what you was asking in your heart.
I receive it. I receive it. Thank God.
Thank God. Is there anyone who would like to say anything if you press the one button? If not, I promise an intercessory prayer at the end. I just want to make a shout out to Sister Diane McBride. I see that she's on the line, and whenever she's present, I just love it. So I just wanted to let her know that I noticed that she's on the line, and so many others is on the line, and I thank God for each and every one of you. Tamika, did you press your button again?
Yes.
You want to say something?
Yes, I do. I want to say tonight, thank you for giving it, explaining it very plainly. I know when I used to read scriptures, I didn't know what I was reading. Like, I didn't know where to begin or what to get from it. So thank you for tonight for saying that, you know, you should look at it in regards to what the scripture is saying to you, like how it resonates with you and what God is saying in the word, and just seeing the act of God or the hand of God and how he helped the people or how he bettered a situation. So I want to say thank you for that, because some people, when they start, they don't know where, they may not understand, and some people may not be confident enough or not being afraid to say that they don't understand, you know. So I'm continuing to learn and just pick up the nuggets that you give us and how we could become better. And I want to become better in the word for myself, and also to be able to witness with somebody else that might be having a problem, you know. So I wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome, Tamika. And guess what? You may go to church next month, I'm being hypothetical, and a preacher preach on that same set of scriptures, but he could come from a different twist. And it's not that mine is right and his is wrong, but if he could line it up to establish the way that he's coming from it, it's all right. You know how you hear one scripture, one preacher preach the same thing, but they come from a different twist. Because God's word is that multifaceted. You got what I'm saying? So that happens sometimes too. Yeah. You know, they might have brought it another way that they faith just, you know, they might have stuck on the faith or they might, but that's the way it was given to me as I began to read. That's what I saw. That's what I developed. And that's what I presented. Thank you. So, Sister Mackie, since we don't have anything else pressed, if you're still on the line and you want to lead us out in prayer, either I'll just do a benediction. Okay, another caller has pressed. I see you pressed, Mackie. Caller, your number is 35562. Your mic is open.
Yeah, hi, Ms. Diane. This is Kathy Fox, but I had pressed the one earlier. But I just wanted to just take the time to thank you for also checking on my dad because I'm still in Alexandria, Louisiana, and at my apartment here. And when I'm starting school tomorrow to take some classes in special education for my kids that I wasn't able to take during the year because of the COVID virus. And I won't be returning home until possibly August, but I come back and forth. I may be there this weekend. But I also want to thank you. I have been listening, but I have not taken the time trying to prepare myself to get ready for my classes here at LSUA to talk. But now that I have time, I've gotten together and started classes today. So I'm glorified from that. But I just want to thank you for being the person that you are. You always have been a great person, and you a great person bringing in the word to all over the world. I thank you for that because I have not attended church since I've been up here in Alexandria because they're just starting to open up. And so I've been weekly, you know, listening to you and listening to other Fred, my cousin, whatever, different preachers, you know, all over the state of Louisiana, which is great. But it's always great to hear the word from you in the way that you take time to explain it on any level that you may understand the Holy Word. So I want to thank you for that, and I love you, and you know that, and just continue doing what you're doing.
All right, and I'm going to give you a call tomorrow because I did get your text about your father, so I'll talk to you about that. And thank you so very much.
You're welcome, ma'am. You're always welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Sister Minister Mackie, you can lead us out.
Thank you, Lord. God, we just come lifting up Houston to you, Lord God. God, you know the situation, you know the need. And we ask that you would touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you are able, oh God, and you call those things that be not as though they were, Lord. And you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And your word declares it's according to the power that worketh in us. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for moving on his behalf, oh God. And everyone that's on the prayer list whose name was called out earlier this afternoon, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, because you are God, and besides you, there is no other. And God, you said in your word, if we delight ourselves in you, you'll give us the desires of our hearts. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for meeting the desires of the hearts this evening, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for moving on Minister Diane's behalf, Lord God. We thank you for increase in the inner man, Lord God, because we realize these outer vessels are perishing, but our inward man are renewed day by day. And we thank you for covering us with your precious blood of Jesus, because we are your purchased possession. And we realize that we're your purchased possessions, God, and we realize that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And for that, we are grateful. We are grateful that you made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a chosen generation who has been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. And God, as we depart on tonight, oh God, we ask that your grace would rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of us. And God, that we may rest in you, Lord God, and we'll have peaceful rest. In the mighty name of Jesus. And God, even those that are having broken hearts, I ask that you would bind up the broken hearts this afternoon, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you said in your word, weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. And we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it is in you that we live and move and have our being, and we reverence and give you glory and honor and praise. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. Minister Mackey, I thank God for you and your faithfulness. So that's it for tonight, you guys. God's will, we'll meet back on next Wednesday. As we go forward, remember, God is in control, that he's working everything out together for your good. Hold on to the confession of your faith so that you will not fall. In Jesus' name, good night to everyone. See you next week.